Hello, and welcome to Speaking of Supply Chain, where we explore trends, current events, and innovations impacting the logistics and supply chain industries. I'm your host, Ellen Wood. Today, we are doing something a little bit different. So I recorded this podcast with Aaron Gilchrist of IntelliShift, and we had such a fantastic conversation, and it went so long that we've decided to break this up into two different episodes. It was way too much to try to put together for you listeners. As a single episode, you would have been here all day. So this episode with Aaron, we discuss vehicle fleets, safety, maintenance, electric vehicles versus gas vehicles, distracted driving. We get into some of the industries that are really easy and early adopters of some of this intelligence behind these fleet vehicles. And then in next episode, so in 2 weeks when that episode is ready, we're going to get a little bit more into some other topics like risk and liability protection, driverless vehicles and the capabilities that exist there, and a little bit into public transit and sustainability. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm cold. Same. It is so cold outside. So I am glad that we are inside and get to have a fun conversation today. We're going to be talking about fleet management. Obviously, you are an evangelist for it. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about what that is all about. I'm looking forward to our topic. But first, let's take a quick break from supply chain topics and just get to know you a little bit better. So our icebreaker question today is, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I have kind of two that go hand in hand. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. It just edges out the love, the judgment. So That's a big thing. And the other one from the same person, both Mother Teresa, is that we can all do great things. So like, You know, this idea that we're confined to what we're capable of. Well, I think if you even define it, then you're limiting your capabilities. So, And just like seeing all the amazing things she did with her feeble, humble, little tiny self, changed the world. So yeah. So those are the two things I love to share because if we just all thought that way, that'd be world would be a better place.
Oh, of course. I love it. Mine is not quite as philanthropic as yours, but it is up there. So one of my professional mentors, that he was a supervisor in a previous position at a previous company, but he did so much to help me in my professional advancement. And one of the things that he told me, and he was like, and you have to call me on this, what you allow is what will continue.
Oh yeah.
And that is absolutely critical. I think when it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our professional lives, is whatever behavior we allow other people to get away with is what they're going to continue doing. So
yeah, I've heard that said, it's what we permit, you know, it's kind of, it's giving people permission to keep doing that. And you're telling them that's okay with me when maybe it isn't or shouldn't be.
Exactly. And so when he would call me or email me and say, I need this now, I'm like, sorry. That you need to give me enough time to do it, enough notice to do these things. And he's like, dang it, I shouldn't have told you that advice. So
he's like, I'm eating my words right now.
I used it against him.
Love it. But that's a good one. Thank you for sharing that.
All right. So getting into our conversation today, tell me a little bit about being a fleet evangelist.
Yeah.
What does that consist of?
I know it's so funny because when I say it out loud, it's so funny, but what prefaces that is VP of fleet, right? Fleet evangelism. And so I am super passionate about fleet and more specifically fleet safety, fleet sustainability. So I think that, you know, the evangelism part is just that I get to do this, right? I get to talk about my passions. I get to share my knowledge and experience. I get to talk to people with lots of knowledge and experience and spread the love so that fleet and safety and operations leaders can think about how they could run the safest and most efficient fleets at the very same time. Those go hand in hand. So I just get to do this. I get to talk about it. And so in my role at IntelliShift, there's kind of three facets. The one is I get to talk about it, right? So I host a podcast called Straight Talk on Fleet. And I do some keynotes. I have guests just like you. And we talk about everything fleet management. And it's so great. We're building this community where we can all grow and learn together. And then the second part of my job is I'm an inside sort of consultant, the voice of the customer at IntelliShift. I get to serve as, you know, our in-house fleet manager. So I'm running a fleet. I'm a fleet manager without a fleet, which is like a lot less stressful. And I get to advise, like, you know, sales and product marketing and product development and say, okay, here's how fleet managers need to work with data, see data, look at analytics and reporting. What alerts do we need? What do we want our interface to be like? So UX and UI and CX and all the things inside. And then I also get to do that with and for our prospects and our customers as like a free consultant to them to, you know, sit and talk about all things fleet with them and help them bring some of their visions to life, whether those be safety or efficiency goals, whatever they are. I get to help them do blueprints and write policies and socialize new tools and technologies inside their org. So loads of fun. Again, fleet manager without a fleet. It's the bomb. My favorite job and my other favorite job put together. So very fun.
So what exactly are we talking about in terms of fleet management? You mentioned safety.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, if you think about what a fleet is, right? So any organization that has vehicles or equipment that performs jobs for them and helps them be successful in any way, shape, or form, that's a fleet, right? And so to properly manage a fleet, you need to think about that entire life cycle of the equipment, the asset, the vehicle. So from the design elements of that asset and how it's going to work for your business, all the way through until you're going to retire, everything in between. So think safety, fuel, maintenance, you know, how is that vehicle legal on the road? So registrations and tolls and all the fun things that it takes to operate a vehicle, well, anywhere in the world, but certainly here in the US on our roadways. So big job. And some fleet managers, are managing parts of that. Some are managing all of that with their team. Others are even in charge of managing the drivers or operators of those assets, which really, really gets into the whole safety and ergonomic aspects of that job. So I have been lucky enough to do kind of all of that in my past for a long time with a large fleet and just developed a real passion for this whole idea of fleet management.
So I have a little bit of a unique perspective. My husband used to work for a utility company and drove a fleet vehicle. So I've seen this on the personal end, or I guess on the user end, on the driver end of all of the things that he had to do to maintain his vehicle, to make sure that it was in compliance with, you know, tire pressure or anything involved. You know, they had ladders on top of the vehicle. So he has to make sure that all of the equipment, the add-on equipment that is built into the vehicle for its functionality was maintained properly and working properly, you know, taking it in for oil changes when that was due. And a lot of that was left up to the individual drivers. And it happens and it gets done. And he was very diligent about making sure, you know, the oil light came on, I need to get an oil change, or it's been so many thousands of miles that this needs to happen. But having that as an app or a functionality within the business that keeps track of it ahead of time means that they don't have to, you know, get surprised with that notification that morning of him saying, hey, my vehicle says it's due for this service, pull me out of scheduling for today. I need to go take care of it. It's more proactive.
That should never be the case, right? So, you know, I think I love, you know, a lot about fleet management. You're selling yourself short here. I think, you know, especially with utility, there's so much focus around safety because of the nature of their work.
Oh yeah.
And so you think about if we could just make that is intuitive or as innate on the vehicle operation side as it is for that operator on the vocational side. You know, so when that comes together, that's really where I think fleet managers and organizations excel, is when they can make it so easy for the operator or driver to be compliant with all those mission critical vehicle fleet to-dos, because that means safety and efficiency for the driver and for the organization and reduced risk. And there's a whole list. And then if they could make that so easy so that that becomes second nature to the operator, then they can really focus on their vocational work and do that service for the organization in the best way possible, and then get there every day on time safely, and more importantly, get home hopefully in better shape than they started the day in. So that, you know, you definitely get it. And I think that leaving it up to the driver, gosh, it's just that those are ways of old is what I like to say. I think, you know, it's, there's so much opportunity again to make that really easy and really successful for organizations. So that aspect of the fleet manager, that human element and how we socialize these things is critical to whether they'll be successful or not.
Well, and I think to some extent, and this may just be me personally, because as professionals, we know how busy we are and how many things are on our to-do list. If I had to keep track of, you know, every time my car needed an oil change or my company vehicle needed an oil change and all these other things, that's extra things on my to-do list, extra things to keep track of.
And they might not get done on time.
Exactly. They might not get done on time. And then that puts the company at risk, not just the individual and their employment, but the company at risk if the vehicle is not maintained properly. So I know that there are probably organizations where they're thinking, okay, if we put this particular piece of software in place to track all this, everyone's going to feel like it's Big Brother watching or that we're micromanaging this process. But truly, it's, I don't have to think about this anymore. It's the alert that's going to come automatically, and it's going to alert the supervisors or the management, you know, these are the vehicles that need service this month. And these are the vehicles, this is how long they're going to have to be out of service. So how are we going to adjust scheduling? How are we going to adjust the workload? It really allows for that more strategic planning of the maintenance that needs to take place. And I mean, so far, we're only talking about utility vehicles, really. We haven't even gotten really into like long haul vehicles where you've got to keep track of how many hours they've been driving and whether, you know, that got eaten up because they were stuck in a traffic jam for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So there's so much at stake here when it comes to the management of vehicles out on public roads.
Yeah, technology and data play a critical role in all of that. And I think that this day in the life of anyone driving a vehicle, it doesn't matter what they're driving, what their vocation is, what type of asset, if you build for safety first and think about that as an organization, I mean, overall, culturally, and certainly with the vehicle fleet, then all of the other things that we're talking about fall into line, because the technology that we use to develop better drivers, to avoid accidents, to get exonerated for things that are not our fault, all those beautiful things that the safety technology does, it also generates amazing data. And with that data, you can do everything well. You can make sure that drivers are fueling where and when you want them to fuel. You can make sure that they're going, not just getting things maintained, but getting it maintained at the right time, maybe at a shop that you need or want them to go to at a price that was negotiated by you ahead of time. So if you think about how all of this data can play into your day-to-day operations as a fleet or safety or ops leader, it can be very prescribed. And I think for a lot of fleet leaders, it feels so out of control because the data isn't consolidated in one place.
It's not all in one place.
Right. And when it's in one place, it can all speak to each other and it can tell you all those 3 to 5 things you need to know at any given time sort of from a reactive point of view, like maybe I need to go talk to Ellen because last night she was speeding excessively and today I want to talk to her about that. Or it can be as
that's true.
Predictive and proactive as we, that never happened. You've never done that.
No.
But it can also be, that data can also be used to develop some really predictive analytics to say, okay, so I've got a fleet of pickup trucks and we're seeing these trends happen. These vehicles are built, you know, to last, and I've got, you know, X percent of them failing at 65,000 miles, this particular thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you can be proactive. You can talk with your OEM and say, here's what we're seeing. Here's the data. And then have them help you get those vehicles in for service, do a fix, maybe replace the assets altogether. You can recover warranty costs. So there's just, we could talk about all the ways that data and analytics help. But I think the key is when fleet managers have an environment where the data's in one place and it talks to each other and it provides this outlook of what's important now, what's important coming, and then what do I need to focus on the long term to meet my sustainability goals, for example. So many fun things to think about as you think about how safety technology might totally transform the way that you manage your fleet.
So what does the new popularity of hybrid and e-vehicles, how is that playing into this? Because, I mean, obviously we were talking about, you know, maintenance and gas costs, but now we've got battery life and charging stations, and it's a different animal. It's the same animal, but slightly different because you're not going to find a charging station at a gas station or charging stations as frequently as you find gas stations, at least not in the US infrastructure yet. We're not there. Are e-vehicles being evaluated or not evaluated? Are they being tracked? Are they being maintained with this fleet management as well? Is it able to keep up with the newer vehicle technology?
It is. And all of that is being built in the vehicle. So where some of us have run or today manage fleets where we have to add additional equipment to our assets mm-hmm. to do certain things, maybe track the temperature because it's a refrigeration truck. Right.
Or the speed.
speed or someone wearing their seatbelt or all the fun things. very, you can do literally almost everything. Or, you know, with someone idling. These vehicles are coming with onboard technology that can help to track all the things, especially when you think about EVs and hybrids. You know, what drivers, I'll say fear the most is range. Can I get to absolutely. Where I'm going? Throughout the course of my day, can I get back home where ultimately charge, or can I get back to my depot where I'm going to charge and then drive my own vehicle home? These things are just a couple considerations as fleet managers dive into this. And again, I'll go back to data. Fleet managers are using data from telematics to build the case for or not EVs in their fleet. They're looking at where am I operating? How many miles am I driving? Who is, you know, stopping and going? So batteries, depending on the type of technology, you know, how can I run this vehicle and be operable and efficient in the same way I could with a gas vehicle or some other type of vehicle? Mm-hmm. And how can I be as efficient, and can I make it to all my customers, and can I make it through the day and not just make it through the day, but do that efficiently and safely with this type of asset? So they're looking at all the data from their assets they have today. They're evaluating that data and saying, okay, they can really handpick the assets that are best to start their EV journey with, right? They can say this driver operates in this area. And so that is going to allow for a successful EV integration. Mm-hmm. There's places where they can charge, or they can get around in the day and get back home where they're going to charge, whatever the case may be. So fleet managers are dipping their toe in the water by using data from telematics on their current fleet to find the assets that are best suited for those replacement to EV type of scenarios. And that's how they're getting started. And then they're partnering with people in they're cities, smart cities, like here in Columbus, mm-hmm. Ohio. They're partnering, organizations are partnering with smart cities. So we're kind of creating this environment where people can share and learn together on how to make this transition. And it's not going to be for everyone. And it's not going to be now for everyone, right? It's going to take a long time. And so those who think that this switch can happen quick, even with government mandates, are, can I say delusional? I can't. I can say that because I can back that up.
They're mistaken.
I can totally back that up. So I think, it takes time and effort, but it can be done. And there are certain applications probably within every fleet around the nation doing different types of work where EV has a place or has a part in that.
So we've talked about a couple different industries. We've talked about utilities. We spoke briefly about, you know, long haul and some of those things. Now we're talking about, you know, inner city or urban, you know, maybe last mile delivery. Are there any particular industries that have, obviously there are some that are big adopters that I could mm-hmm. see, utilities being one of them, that it makes perfect sense for this to be something that they need to be in control of. When it comes to 3PLs and transport companies, obviously they're doing some sort of, you know, collection of data and maintaining these vehicles. But what are some holdout industries that you're trying to get into that it makes perfect sense and you're just banging your head against a wall trying to convince them that this is necessary, it's going to be beneficial, and at some point, you're going to lose money if you're not doing this, if you're not keeping track of what's going on with your vehicles?
Yeah, that's a great question. There definitely were some early adopters, you know, service fleets and what we're calling last mile now fleets that have always mm-hmm. been operating in a very specific area, kind of doing consistent and repeatable things all the time. That's kind of how last mile delivery works. But when you think about industries thinking about making transitions to EV and to safety technology, this has been going on for a really long time. And to say that there are some that are holding out, absolutely. But I think it's more about they're worried about a few things. It's hard to hire people in these name it. It's been 5 or 6 years, maybe plus, really challenging times finding drivers and vocational workers. And so there are organizations and there are industries, I won't name them specifically,
of course,
who are holding out because they believe they're going to lose people. Mm-hmm. I would argue that that is a myth. I've been there. I've done it. We had that same fear in the organization I worked for, but I think my story then, and it's the same now, and I think it always will be, it's all about positioning, right? We want, if you're genuine about what you're doing, and that's really around safety. If you care about safety and safe operation and you say it in the right way, the people that work for you will believe you. They have to know what's in it for them. And so the organizations that are doing that the best, I just interviewed Sharon Etherington. She's from Roche Industries.
Yes.
Oh man, she gets it. Mm-hmm. They socialize things with their community of drivers in a great way. They have town halls. They're getting on calls and talking to drivers. If they hand someone an EV, it's not like, okay, good luck. No, it's let's talk about the technology we're giving you. It's a vehicle. It is tech. The vehicle is the most dangerous tool you'll give any worker in the world. I don't care what their job is. If you give them a vehicle, that is the most dangerous tool. And it's becoming more and more dangerous because of distracted driving. So again, delusional if you think that safety technology is doing, if your lack of adoption of safety technology is doing anything but hurting you. It's not about if, it's about when you're going to get railroaded by something that you should have expected, you know?
Or
Been able to prevent. And it's like, if you do the math, and the math's out there, but I can tell you that, like, let's just talk distracted driving for a second.
Sure.
If you think about what's reported today, we believe that only about half of the accidents that are a result of distracted driving are actually being reported that way. So anyone who's listening, if you're like, not sure we should have telematics or cameras, you need to talk about it. Another thing that's driving this, Ellen, is insurance companies are going to their insured and saying, we are not going to renew your fleet, or mm-hmm. we're going to renew your fleet at a much higher cost because you don't have safety tech in your vehicle. So the hand is being forced because the writing has always been on the wall, and it continues to be a more and more dangerous place to do business is on the roadways. So, you know, there are holdout industries, not for long. We work with a lot of industries at IntelliShift, and we have seen some of our customers in construction, utility, electric, HVAC, mm-hmm. et cetera. They're coming to us and telling us, so maybe they have telematics with us and they're using fuel and maintenance and they're using our big data platform. They are coming to us and saying, my insurance company is asking me to put cameras in my vehicles. Can you help me write a policy? And I'm like, I can help you with that. And then it's about taking this policy and saying, hold on, we do need to write a policy and people need to understand it and sign it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's no brainer. But it's more about, you need a communication strategy so that the people that work for you will know that you're doing this, not because the insurance guy said so, is because the insurance guys, what do they know? They know what they're paying for, and they're paying for accidents that could have been avoided. So, or crashes, I don't call them crashes. I don't even use that word accident anymore, but it's, so they know, and they're coming to you because it's inevitable that mm-hmm. someone in your fleet is going to get in an accident. And whether they're at fault or not, how do you know? You have that tools and tech that can prove that. But it's the organizations who take that to heart and say, why are we really doing this? It's because we care. We want, yes. not only do we want to keep the workforce that we have, it is, we want to attract. I think people look at it the wrong way. I think they're like, I'm going to lose people and people are going to quit. No, actually, you're going to keep them longer term, and you're going to attract more people to come and work for your organization because they will know that what you're doing is top of the line, state of the art, to make sure that they are safe, and they are safe from all the other crazies mm-hmm. out on the road who are putting on mascara, curling their hair, shaving, reading a book. I mean, go up. Mm-hmm. Get a passenger and drive and tell me what you see. My kids used to say, we used to count the people. We'd say, who's on their phone? You know what we do now is we count the people who are not distracted by something, and they are very few. And it doesn't matter, old or young, just anyone, everyone is, when they get in their vehicle, they're not thinking, I need to just drive mm-hmm. today.
Usually it's a commute or an expected trip, and they're trying to figure out, what can I do to entertain myself during the time that I have to be in the car or in the vehicle?
How about just like not kill themselves or someone else? That's that's a good goal. Let's do that. I mean,
it's true. And to your point, you know, when these policies are coming into play, when this is something new, it's reasonable for the employees to think, this is punitive. This is a punishment. I'm being tracked. I'm being babysat. I'm being micromanaged. Why don't you just trust me? And to your point, you know, it's not about trust. I could trust those employees implicitly, mm-hmm. but if and when something goes wrong, whether it's that driver's fault or whether it's the fault of another person who crashed into them, having the ability to say with certainty, my driver was not at fault. This should not hurt their personal ability to get insurance. This should not hurt their ability to maintain employment. This should not be something that they are held personally liable for in the event of legal action. All of these things show that, you know, we're able to protect these employees from all of those outside potential influences, as you said, when It's inevitable. When an accident happens, we'll have everything in place to show that we were doing exactly what we were supposed to. We were not distracted drivers. We were, you know, maintaining the speed limit. We were in an appropriately maintained vehicle, you know, for the driving conditions. And, you know, the seatbelt was in place. There was, you know, they weren't playing on their phone. They were doing the driving. Yeah. And so you've eliminated all possibility of, you know, legal action or retribution because you can prove it. It's not a he said, she said anymore.
Right. And oh, hey, drivers, guess what? Fleet managers don't have time to watch videos ever. The AI and the technology only tells us what we need to know and only when we need to know. And only when we need to know it. And what we're seeing with our client base is, I mean, people are from 85% to 35% plus is how they're reducing their accidents, the percentages by which they're reducing accidents. So the big story here is for drivers is, guess what? We're going to help you this many more times. We're going to exponentially impact your chances of getting in an accident in a positive way. So it's kind of like if and when that accident happens, you know, we're covered. But it's more about, you know, again, for some of our clients, 60%, you know, we've reduced accidents by 60%. Who can say that? Well, people who adopt tools and technology that help them do that. So again, it's a shift. It's a mindset. It really starts with organizations thinking about safety culture, the whole person, vehicle fitness and operator, driver and operator fitness. When they're thinking about it in that way, it will span every aspect of their organization. People sitting in chairs, people driving vehicles, name it. When you have a safety culture, you start to really think about all those things collectively, more naturally and organically. And that's when drivers and employees start to trust you and count on you as a partner in their own safety and their own getting home from work safe every day. And that's just, to me, it's like a no-brainer. Is it easy? No, it's not. But is it a must right now? Yeah, it was a must a long time ago, but more so now because the roadways are incredibly unsafe due to people who don't just get behind the wheel and focus on the one thing they need to do at that time, which is driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and another thing you had mentioned was that companies are afraid that they will lose employees or not be able to attract employees. But I think by having these protocols in place, it not only can attract employees who, to your point, want to make it home at the end of the day safely and in one piece, but it attracts the right kind of employees. It attracts the employees who you want to have on your team, who are conscientious enough, who are able to focus on the job at hand, who are not easily distracted, who are able to get the work done in the time that they're supposed to get it done. It really is, you know, a matter of bringing in the people and cutting out the ones who were trying to just, you know, have employment or get a job because of the paycheck. You want the best people on your team. So you need to, again, what you allow is what will continue.
That is the perfect, advice that you shared earlier that applies to everything that we're talking about today, especially when you think about like organizational safety. It's like, you know, if you're not doing anything about it, then what you're saying to your workforce is,
this doesn't matter.
It's okay. It's okay for you to drive like that. Two, it's okay for you to endanger yourself and
company property.
Yeah, exactly. And then the organization is saying to themselves, we're like just throwing money.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to think about it that way, they have a big bonfire going all the time and they're just tossing money into it. That's it.
Disposable.
Yeah. Feeding the fire. So yeah, it's like for me, again, not easy, necessary now, always has been. But I get excited. Of course, I know my passion is undeniable. You know, when I say things like people have their head in the sand and they're just delusional, I really mean that, because it's just a matter of time, you know. And it was cool. I was talking to a pest control person recently, and this guy had a very tiny fleet. I think he had like two or three vehicles, and we were chatting about safety. And I loved his whole idea of like, whether I have one vehicle or I have 10,000, he totally got it. He was like, for me, the guy with three, I'm doing great. I'm making it to my customers, whatever. But if I didn't have anything there to protect myself, I could have the kind of accident that could put me out of business.
Absolutely.
And organizations need to think that way as well. It's flip that. Now you got the guy with three trucks who has a bad one and he's done. He's done. He's filing for bankruptcy. Then you have the large fleet that is driving 200 million miles a year. The fleet that I managed drove plus that, you know, hundreds of millions of miles a year. And then you just take that risk and you multiply it. Yeah. So doesn't matter where you are, folks, on your journey. Now's the time, I think, for efficiency and safety tech in your vehicles.
Thanks. And tune in next time for the second half of our episode with Aaron and IntelliShift. And we will be talking a little bit more about what this looks like in terms of the oversight from the driver's perspective. We're going to talk a little bit about risk and liability protection. We talk about driverless vehicles and some of the capabilities there, and public transit and sustainability, and what information can be gleaned through all the data that's collected. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.